The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill. I'm delighted again to be able to speak to Joey Randall, CEO of Venture Life Group, a leading OTC healthcare products firm. So welcome, Jerry.
Thanks, Paul. Nice to see you again.
Yeah, well, big congrats on today's positive 2022 results and in-line outlook for 2023 with sales rising 17% like-for-like to £44 million. Maybe you could start there. What's been sort of driving that strong double-digit top-line growth?
Yeah, it's been right across the business, so both in our Venture Life brands, but also in the customer brands. And in particular, in the Venture Life brands, it's been driven by the Lift product. That's our diabetes products. It's used in for people with diabetes. It's also used in sport. It's gone into the main retail channels, main grocery models. But what we've seen is a real increase in pharmacies recommending, particularly to type 2 diabetics, to use this product. And the real benefit is it's very transportable, either as chewables or small shots, but it's a measured dose, so they know exactly what dose they're getting. And the main competitor, Dextro, doesn't have that same sort of specific dose, so it's actually, you know, recommended by pharmacy. So that's where we've seen growth there on Amazon as well, because our online sales are growing quite strongly. And then Balance Active growing nicely as well, both in the UK, but also we've launched that in Germany over Amazon, and that'll be rolling out across Europe, across the Amazon platform. So they've gone well. And on our customer brands business, you know, particularly strong performance for that part of the business, over 40% up over last year. There's a little bit of inventory build from some customers, but even taking that out, more than 30% growth over the previous year. And that's just great management of customers, bringing in new customers, real demand. And we've seen a little bit of competitors falling out of the market because they're not able to supply and they haven't managed the supply chain side as well. So that's been beneficial to us because we've managed that really well.
Yeah, I mean, that was a real strategic good play, that good decision, that one. In terms of the sort of pricing power of your own sort of products, I'm guessing sort of like Balance Active and Lift, I mean, given they've done so well and they are niche products, have good pricing power, I imagine.
But they do. I mean, I think, as you'll be aware, there's always pressure against price rise. There always will be, and in the current environment, high inflation, that's even more so. So we've managed to pass on our, you know, price increases so far, and that's to either our distribution partners or, you know, through retail where appropriate. So at the moment, yes, they do have good pricing power. They're in a good niche spot. They've got good growth, good products that they're well followed. So we see that as a benefit from those sort of products.
Mm. And it looks as though, just looking at your sort of H1, H2 split, you've had a good uptick in your EBITDA margin. I saw in the sort of first half you did 17, 18% EBITDA margins, but you did 22, 23% in the second half. And how do you see that going forward? In terms of, because, I mean, how is it generated from just operating, you know, sort of economies of scale or whatever?
Yeah, it's a combination of operating scale and mix. So I think, as you know, our Venture Life brands have high, and we have a bigger proportion of sales in the second half of the year from our Venture Life brands. So that's bringing in that higher margin into the mix, but also the overall operating leverage. You know, as we put more through the factories, we get greater profitability. So as we go forward, obviously we want the whole of the year to be more full than it is now. And you'll see that operating margin, that, you know, EBITDA margin coming up.
Yeah. I mean, I was just looking at it. You did sort of like 5.6 million EBITDA in the second half, and I think actually your EBITDA was better than expectations, wasn't it? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well done. Yeah. Good. And now, just in terms of your own sort of like that mix, etc., your own products, etc., what percentage of the group is it? Can you just remind investors?
Yeah, sure. So on a run rate basis at the end of the year, because obviously we'd acquired the Earol business just before the end of the year, it's about 57% now.
Wow. So okay.
60%, and we'd expect to see good growth out of Earol this year. So again, we'd expect that percentage to start to increase. And in fact, because there was such a strong customer brands business last year, that's, you know, sort of kept the VLG brands down. So, you know, absent that, we'd expect it to go over 60%.
Fantastic. And how's sort of like the sort of trading in that sort of first quarter so far? How's that been progressing?
Yeah, trading's fine. I mean, obviously, as you saw, we had a very big order book at the end of the year, and that order book's continued to grow. It's higher at the end of February than it was at the end of the year. So we've seen those orders continue to flow through. Trading's slightly ahead of what we'd expect in the first quarter, so we're very happy with that. I think as everyone sees in the trading statement, you know, we're cautiously optimistic. I think we've all learned from the last 3 years.
Yes, you know, wise.
You can't look too far ahead, you know, but at the moment, yeah, you know, I'm very happy with things and trading is very good.
Yeah. And what about sort of like the initiatives going forward for your own in-house sort of like brands in terms of, I don't know, maybe product development, promotion or extra distribution overseas and abroad?
Yeah, it's all of those things. I mean, new product development's a big thing for us this year. And obviously, we're working on our more recently acquired brands at Earol. There's some good new product development going on there. Similarly within Lift. And similarly within Balance Active. So that's a very active program for us. We've got the capability in Italy and Sweden to do that. So you'll see a number of those launches of new products next year into the UK and internationally. And then with our brands, you know, there's a lot of international markets still empty. You will have seen at the back end of last year, we signed that great deal in Brazil with Blau for Gelato. That was a really good deal. So more of those to come. So it's both of those aspects and a real focus on organic growth for us this year and getting behind the brands and starting to deliver the sort of growth that they can, you know, they can bring.
Mm. And what about sort of the foot care and the mouthwash for 2023? Because obviously there was a bit of sort of like a, you know, price indigestion, I guess, at the start of 2022. How do you see that sort of like developing, particularly out in China as well?
Yeah. I mean, the foot care, I'll take that one first. We had a distributor in one of the European countries who decided to cease with the product. So we're looking for another distributor there. We expect that to be found and continue there. The foot care is a good franchise. We're quite happy with that. The oral care products are a bit more difficult. As you quite rightly said, in quarter one of 2022, we had to put through a price rise on dental. That did affect sales in quarter one. And they came back in quarter two, three, and four, but obviously didn't catch up. So on a sort of run rate basis, we're happy that they're getting back to where they were before. But it's a competitive space, and the mouthwash market went down by about 6% last year. So, you know, we're sort of going with that trend. Ultradex, interestingly enough, is still the number one halitosis brand, mouthwash brand in the UK, more than double any of the competitors. So that still has a good space. But again, you know, it's recovering from that sort of lack of events, lack of going out that we saw in 21 and 22 and coming back from those. That said, the dental brand, when it was selling in China, was selling very well. Did well in China. So we're hoping now that China's starting to unlock that our partner Samarkand will begin to generate better sales again with dental. So, you know, we think that could be a good opportunity. And there's still some international markets where we could take those oral care products. So we're not investing heavily in them, you know, because you can't compete against those really, really big brands. But, you know, the cash generative, they bring good profitability to us. And we'll continue to review them over the next couple of years to see whether there's something we should retain in our portfolio or do something else with.
Yeah, okay. And just in terms of some of the M&A, how's the integration of HL going at the moment?
Yeah,
HL Healthcare. Yeah,
it was a very lightly overheaded business, only two staff with it. So the commercial integration is complete. That's all being dealt with by our commercial team now. The regulatory and technical integration is ongoing. That'll take about 12 months to finish. So we're very happy with it. It's going very well. Say trading nicely in the first quarter, as we'd expect. So very happy with it.
Yeah, that does look like a beautiful little nice niche brand to bring on board. No doubt about it for the portfolio.
Yeah, fantastic products and well regarded in the specialists.
Yeah, how's the what was the sort of situation with the sort of supply chain and input cost inflation at the moment? I'm guessing that's hopefully easing slightly.
Yeah, it's definitely easing. I mean, we've you know, I would say the sort of May, June, July time in 22 was the real sort of pinch point when we were getting repeated issues with availability as well as significant price increases. And I would say we've sort of gone at slightly over the peak of those now. We're certainly seeing competition starting to come back into pricing with more than one supplier. We're still seeing those longer lead times. And I think that's just a function of people, again, being cautious and wanting to maintain good visibility. So I would say it's slightly off the top and slightly better than it was, but it's by no means gone away yet. On the heating side, I mean, we were really pleased. I think the heating costs because we heat the factories with gas, they weren't as high by the time we got to January as we'd anticipated. I think they were probably double where they were the year before rather than treble. So that's been a bit better. And I think that's come through the fact that Europe probably thinks it's got enough gas to store away to keep going for the year. So, you know, that's been helpful. But on the cost of goods side, we are seeing green shoots, but I think it's still a difficult market. And I think we still have to, you know, keep a good eye on that as we go forward.
And then just talk sort of longer term in, with regards to sort of factory utilization and capacity, et cetera. I mean, you've still got quite a lot of spare sort of like, you know, ability to increase that whole sort of throughput, haven't you, I guess?
Yes. Yes. In fact, in both factories, we have that. And that's really sort of fundamental to our growth and that EBITDA margin, you know, pushing upwards. Because as you've seen in the second half of the year, as we put more volume to the business, there's a trigger to accelerate that profitability. So, as we grow organically and in the future, if you do more M&A, you know, we'll utilise more of that capacity and get more operating leverage out of it. And we're already looking at projects to go into Sweden as well, because that's only running at 20% of its capacity. So we've got some ongoing projects to put in there, and in Italy as well, we're continuing to grow. So, yeah, fundamental to our continued growth and good capacity still available.
Good. And then just in terms of the actual sort of the cash generation and sort of the net debt position, I saw it, obviously it ticked up slightly at the year end simply because you've just done the HL acquisition. How are you seeing that sort of progressing?
Yeah, just sure. I mean, as you know, we had the RCF. It's been in place for about 18 months now. And we were progressing the Earl acquisition earlier in the year, and we were looking to close just when the whole, you know, sort of interest rate debt market, you know, had a bit of a scare.
Yeah.
So we sort of, you know, took stock and made sure we looked at it. So, you know, we ended up coming in with the net debt leverage of about 1.4 times at the end of the year, and we were comfortable with our gross debt covenants are 2.5 times. So we're, you know, we're comfortably under those. So already after the first few months of the year, we're down to 1.3 times. Cash generation is really good. We've got some deferred consideration to pay out Q2 this year on Earol, but you know, that won't significantly you know, impact on our net leverage. So by the end of the year, we'd expect our net leverage to be much closer to one, if not below it. And as you saw, that operating cash generation up to you know, over 60% compared with just with over 20% last year. We really squeezed that inventory now, squeezed that working capital to make sure that we're getting that cash conversion coming through. So I'd expect to see good continued cash conversion this year, and that will be used to bring down the RCF.
Yeah, I'm guessing sort of that year-end inventory build, or just you've done for your customers, etc. If supply chains do ease in 2023, then that cash should then be released into the business, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, we're still, you know, as you've seen the market numbers, we're still predicting good growth for 2023, even on organic. And that tends to suck about 15% working cap to revenue as you grow the business. So there will be some growth there, but the inventory levels are high because of that long order book. You know, when we've got the orders, we can buy the inventory, lock the prices. There's quite a delicate balance at the moment because between, do you order further out for inventory or do you wait another month or two when the price might drop? And it's not a simple overarching view. It's very unique to lots of different products, raw materials, packaging. So, you know, our purchasing team sat on a little bit of a knife edge at the moment where, you know, month by month, they're sort of perhaps delaying the purchase of some inventory because they think the price might go down, you know, and that could add, you know, 3 or 4 percentage points onto your margin. So, but that's the position it's in at the moment. It's getting better. There's a sort of delicate balance to be played, but you know, absent any more black swans, then I think it will continue to improve through the year.
Yeah. Well, your purchasing team certainly did a good job in 2022, no doubt about it. And hopefully we don't get any black swans, but I can imagine we're probably going to get a few sort of more common black ducks, I think, in 2023, which we'll have to get used to. I know, yeah. So in terms of sort of like organic growth, is that where the focus is going to be then in 2023 and to drive down that debt?
Yeah, it is, because we've spent a lot of money on buying these great brands, and it's really important to deliver out of those. And they've grown well in 22. We're really happy with that growth there, and particularly grow more in 23. Particularly the oncology products that we bought in 21, they're all licensed out. So there's a lead time in getting new distributors and and then getting orders. But their growth is relatively, you know, small in 22, but in 23 you'll see a good impact from those as those new distributor deals come through. So yeah, that's where we are. We want to invest in those this year. We haven't turned off the M&A tap. I mean, obviously with share price to, you know, appreciate a lot more before we, you know, even consider raising the equity. But there are still good opportunities out there, and we still continue to review them. But the focus is definitely on the organic side of the business.
Yeah. And then just in terms of sort of refinancing, I know the Silicon Valley you were thinking about doing, but now they've actually been bought by HSBC, haven't they?
Yeah, goodness me, that was quite a weekend. Yeah. So Silicon Valley is now owned by HSBC, or the UK bit is. From then, we've had the message clearly it's just business as usual.
Yeah.
Nothing changed. We also had the same message from HSBC saying, you know, we own Silicon Valley now, but don't worry, it's business as usual. But the renewal of the facility is in June of next year.
Yeah.
So we've already began to have discussions with Santander and the others about what we're going to do. I mean, Santander, I have to say, have been brilliant. You know, they're really supportive. That particularly that weekend when you know, it was all going sort of pear shaped, they stood behind us and said, "Look, don't worry, whatever happens, we'll, you know, take care of you." So they were fantastic, and so yeah, it's business as usual with that facility, and we'll look for the renewal next year. But we're already starting to have those discussions, obviously, in light of what happened.
Good. And then just finally then, with regards to the sort of outlook, is it sort of like, you know, we've got the AGM probably sometime in, I don't know, is it May or June? And then we've
May.
And then we may have some sort of like BD sort of activities or product. How do you see it?
Yeah, so what you're going to see is the launching of our new products that we're developing. You're going to see sort of trading updates and revenue progression, order book progression. You'll see, you know, also when we're getting new listings as part of the progression this year will be some of those new products we bought getting listed in further stores. And we're planning a capital markets day, which will happen towards the end of this half. So details of that will come out in due course. But that will allow us to open up a little bit more of the management below us that you see on a regular basis. And, you know, that will be video. So, you know, people who aren't able to attend will be able to you know, see that. So that's the sort of news flow. But I think you'll just see progression in the first half, trading update in July, obviously, once we've finished our first half. But we're very happy how the first half is going. You know, it's going very positively, trading as well. And we just see that continuing growth of the organic part of our business.
Brilliant. Well, looking forward to the capital markets update. Definitely. That'll give a lot more sort of good granularity, actually, into your niche products and the growth trajectory and, you know, why they're delivering double-digit growth already. So, yeah, look forward to that. And thanks very much, Jerry. Speak to you soon.
Thanks, Paul. Pleasure.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.